wrong.
Psalms 2, verse 4 says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." What do you think it means to have somebody in derision? It's like a mocking, a laughing. In other words, it's like the devil, he's ready. He wants to, you know, got his guns aimed at you and wants to unload on you. But when you're seated with him in heavenly places, then you realize, ha, 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 ha. You do. You realize, that's what God does when he looks and he sees the tactics of the enemy that comes against us. Ha, 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 ha. He that sits in the heavens laughs. He that sits in the heavens laughs. He that sits in the heavens laughs. And I am seated with him. Doesn't it say we're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Colossians 3, 1 through 3. I am seated in the heavens too. I am seated in the heavens too. I'm seated in the heavens too. And I am laughing with him. Wouldn't it be a shame for someone to laugh alone? Have you ever been in a company of people that are laughing? Have you ever seen someone that doesn't laugh in the midst of someone that's people are of laughter? It's catching on. It catches on. It's like wildfire. Laughing produces laughter. And the devil can't stand that. So he wants everybody boo-hooing and singing, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." That's what he wants. He wants you to be all down in the mouth and afraid and fearful and wringing your hands. You don't know what you're going to do. But you know what? When you're in the heavens, you're looking down. The devil's down here. We're seated up here. So we get a different perspective, don't we? When mountains stand in your way and you don't know what to do, just remember where you sit. And it will encourage you. That's what the Lord would have us do. There's been way too much down in the mouth. He turns our mourning into dancing. He turns our mourning into dancing. He says, put off your sackcloth. Put off your sackcloth. You know, wasn't it Paul that said he had finished his course with joy? Well, Jesus too. They finished their course with joy. Did they experience some hard things in life? Yes, they did. But they did it with joy. You know what joy does? The joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. Well, a stronghold is like a fortress. Right? So I just wanted to encourage you with that. Okay, we're going to look tonight at, it's a no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation, but we're going to look at the two witnesses. Let's look, turn over to Revelation chapter 11 first. I don't want to get away from what the Holy Spirit's wanting to say today. The Lord wants us to get to where we view adversity the right way. Yeah. That way it doesn't overcome us. I have a teaching that I probably will bring Sunday, and it's talking about we are made to overcome. We are never made to be overcome. We're always made to be a winner. I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, that the Lord said to me, whatever comes into your life, that the Word of God will be able to handle it. Your faith will see you through, whatever it is. And realizing that the way of faith is the Father's way. We don't have to be back and forth about His way. He's already shown us His way. So we can always be assured and always be encouraged that God is pleased when we use our faith. He just wants us to get strong in our faith. He wants us to have the faith that overcomes the world. Well, that's what the book of Revelation really is about, overcomers. Jesus talks to the church, all the different churches, to John and the churches. And at the end of each one of those churches, he said, to him that overcomes, there is always a reward. Let's look at that. We'll probably revisit it Sunday, but it says here in chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, verse 7 says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Then the church of Smyrna, it says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I like that. The church of Pergamos, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. The church at Sardis, to he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He likes those overcomers. The church of Laodicea. Well, wait a minute. I missed one. Well, just a minute. Okay, the church of Laodicea. Well, I did Sardis. Well, Sardis has two. Verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And then also verse 12, he that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And he also says in Laodicea, verse 21, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So God loves overcomers. We are made to overcome, not to be overcome. Okay. All right. Revelation 11. Verse 1. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without, the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 2 years and 80 days, 2 years and 80 nights, 2 years and 80 days, 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 2 years and 80 nights, 2 years and 80 days, 2 years and 80 days, 2 years and 80 nights, 2 years and 80 days, 2 years and 80 days, 2 years and 80 nights, 2 years and 80 days, 2 years and 80 nights, 2 years and 80 days, 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 2 years and candlestick standing before the God of the earth. Now we've already, when I brought this before, the candlesticks, they are churches. When he's dealing with the churches, the candlesticks were each church, the stars were the angels over those churches. If verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters, to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So we see Moses' handiwork with all the plagues in Egypt. Elijah calling fire down on the prophets of Baal. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit, somebody asks you, where's the beast come from? You can say, well, the pit. Shall make war against him. He better get used to it. I hope he likes it there, because he's fixing to have a long stay there. Shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of God from, or the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe comes quickly. The seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. The temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. There were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Okay, I'm going to give you my thoughts here. I believe with the Holy Spirit's help that the two witnesses represent Moses and Elijah. Kind of seems obvious. They are the two olive trees and candlesticks that stand before the Lord in heaven. All right, now I want to turn to Zechariah chapter 4. It's pretty close to the back of the Old Testament. It's right by Malachi. Everybody there? Verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And said unto me, when seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then I answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So I believe these are the two candlesticks he's talking about in the book of Revelation. Out with the old, it has been fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill the old covenant and to bring in the new covenant. Okay, now let's go to Matthew 5. Verse 17. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So what we see in Zechariah is like church history. And I've told you, to view the book of Revelation properly, I believe we have to look at it as a book of our history. Not a book of someday out there. I think that's the wrong way. I think that's why we've missed it so terribly concerning this book and misunderstanding it, is because we put everything out there somewhere. And it's not out there somewhere. All right, now let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. It's just like the Lord and his thousand-year reign. God's going to have the rest. He's going to have the 7 year completed. The devil came in and messed it up, but he's going to set it right. He is going to have his say. It's like I started off, he who sits in the heavens laughs. He will put the devil in derision. He thinks he's getting back up there. He thinks he's going to best God, but he's not. Isaiah 14 says he's going to the pit. All right, Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of her, or of God, that they should feed her for 1,260 days. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the devil cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So out with the old and in with the new. We see the three witnesses in the gospel of what I'm saying here tonight. It'll make sense as I continue to go forward with this. The place of the two witnesses. If you notice, it's not just Jesus, but it's his church. The very first revelation that I ever had concerning the book of Revelation, besides there being no rapture, well, it was because of this revelation, was that the child that was caught up, we were caught up with him. We were seated with him in heavenly places. I think it's the victorious church. Okay, we're going to see three witnesses in the Gospels of what I've been speaking to you about. Matthew chapter 7 is the first one. Okay, let me see where to pick up. I don't want to. I'm not sure why I put this. Just a minute. I guess that's. I don't know what I did. A second. I'm looking for the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration.
17.
Well, there's say, like I said, I get typing fast and I. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So he was confirming. God was confirming to the disciples, Peter, James, and John, that the new age. Peter, James, and John were going to be the ones that were the main ones that were going to be entrusted when the Lord was crucified. Okay, let's go to Mark 9. Like I said, there's three accounts of this. Verse 2. Well, I'll read verse 1. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they see the glory of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias and with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter answered and said to him, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. So God gives another witness. or the accounts written three times. There was only one transfiguration. God was confirming the times, the dispensation. They were about to step into the church age. Okay, now Luke 9. I think I might have written this one down too wrong too.
27.
Next page. Okay, thanks. And it came to pass about 8 days after these things, he took Peter and James and John and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Okay. Even Peter gave reference to this as a sign. He was one of the ones that witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus and the appearing of the two witnesses. Peter would be part of the new dispensation. Okay. Matthew 16. Whoops. Okay, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So he gave him the keys. He gave him the keys. All right. It was out with the new and in, or out with the old, in with the new. In Revelation 12, where we read about the witnesses, I'm going to turn back over there because I want you to see this. I'd never seen it this way until this morning. I believe in Revelation 12, we see the sign of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And then the birth of the church with heavenly authority, which is chapter 13. In verse 12 here, it says they're laying dead in the street. I got to find this. No. I'm sorry, 11. Which 12 does show his death, burial, and resurrection. Because the child is caught up to God. That's a sign of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. All right. Then Colossians 3 shows that we are seated with him. the child was caught up to heaven. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. All right. In Revelation 4, John is caught up to the throne of God so he could be shown these things. Moses represents God's law. Elijah represents the prophets. And we're going to look at Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So just as Moses and Elijah gave witness to Peter, James, and John about the new dispensation, the beginning of the church age, we are seeing the signs today of the ending of the church age and the beginning of the kingdom age. We have not had two prophets show up in person, but we have them in Scripture giving witness. Okay, in chapter 13, we also see the signs of that. Let me look at 13 again. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. Now we saw about the witness. We saw about the church. And the beast what I saw was like a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. I saw one of his hands, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's the line drawn in the sand. If any man have an ear, let him hear. If they don't If they don't accept Jesus, then they automatically come under the other master. If any man have ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. I taught on this, was it last week? He doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now we just qualified that is those that don't have their names written in the book of life. And that no man might buy or sell, save that he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The beast system is revealed. Revealed. Okay, one more scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2. Get a drink. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. All right. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? Now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of the iniquity but doth already work. Only he who now letteth will it until he be taken out of the way. So I told you that angel had the seal that revealed. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Are they believing a lie today? A lot of people are. That they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, we'll look at Revelation right quick. Chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals. Well, we know who opened the book, don't we? Jesus. He unsealed it. Because John gets real upset and starts to weep because there's nobody to open the book or unseal the seals. And when he'd taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. That's verse 8. Anyway, the elder says, quit crying, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah is the one that will open the book. Then in chapter 6, we began to see the angels. Each one opened the seal. The first seal opened. And I saw when the Lamb opened the seal, just chapter 6. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder of the four beasts saying, come and see. Then it goes on through the seven seals. And this is what we are calling today the Great Awakening. God has taken away the blinders off of our eyes. We've been deceived by the beast system. but no more. Okay. All right.